Blog Talk Radio.
Bonjour mes amis, ça va bien? I hope we're all ça va bien-ing tonight. This is Sybil Brunchen, and I'm coming to you live on Come Now, Don't Sulk, part of the Here Be Monsters studio on Blog Talk Radio Network. We are actually broadcasting to you live right now, and we are broadcasting, can you imagine, all around the world simultaneously. We are in all 24 time zones, both hemispheres. We're in the Indian Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific. I hope that we even have an outpost somewhere in Antarctica. We have listeners all over the world right now, and we're very pleased to invite all of you to our show. Some of you it's 4 in the morning, and some of you it's 8 in the morning, and whatever. I am, again, Sybil Brunchen, and I am here with my producer and my muse and my well, she's the head of all sorts of different things, and I'll go into that detail. Gwendolyn Holden-Berry. Gwen, how are you tonight?
I'm fine. How are you, Mommy?
I'm very good. For those of you that have never tuned in, or for those of you that are suffering from Alzheimer's, I'm coming to you from just outside of Philadelphia on the main line. I used to be broadcasting from New York, and Gwendolyn is coming to you from Florida, Port St. Lucie, where the temperature is now 15 degrees below zero. Can you imagine? But there's no climate change. Oh, no, don't worry, Governor DeSantis. Don't worry, Senator Rubio. Don't worry, Donald Trump. There's no sign of a change in the climate. I mean, I saw a film just about 2 hours ago of the citrus trees, the orange trees in Florida, covered with an inch worth of ice. They were like bejeweled. And, of course, they were not dead, but certainly fainting iguanas all over the ground. People are like picking them up and using them as doorstops right now, or hockey pucks. Gwendolyn, how are you surviving the cold?
Well, it's chilly, and it's a wet cold down here. Kind of penetrates
the body.
I kind of think of snow as a warming effect, because it collects all the humidity, you know.
You know, I just want to remind all our listeners that you're originally from, this is incredible, Rochester, New York, which means that Gwendolyn, when she was younger and living there, Rochester is like Chicago. Rochester is much colder than New York City. That lake effect snow and winter is brutal. So Gwendolyn, when she would prick her finger as a little girl, maple syrup would come out. These people do not have thin blood. But Gwendolyn moved to Florida many years ago, and now her blood is as thin as, like, Prince Machiavelli windsong perfume. I mean, she thinks 50 is freezing cold. So you really, when it's going down to 30 there, it's brutal, isn't it?
It's funny. I actually, if I were to fly into Boston tonight, I'd be warm.
Oh, brother. Listen, before we get any farther, I want to remind everybody that our program every week is brought to you by daughtersofisis.com. That's daughtersofisis.com, all one word, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. And by listeners just like you at home, thank you. Gwendolyn is the founder of Daughters of Isis. She's the head chemist, and she is the sorceress behind their wonderful products and their fragrances and everything. Gwendolyn, do you have – now, we're on the verge of a Chinese New Year. Tomorrow is the beginning of the Year of the Tiger. The water tiger. And I'm the water dragon. What is your – recommendation for a fragrance that people, our listeners, could look for tonight on the website? Is there something we should be looking for as we sort of near spring? We're not close to it, but at least January has passed. What can we get?
Actually, tomorrow is also the cross-quarter day of Imbolc, which is St. Bridget's Day, and it's supposed to wake us up to the coming spring. All of the little snow flowers are coming up and such, you know. Basically, though, with the water tiger year on our on our doorstep here. I would suggest that I have a wonderful mist. It's one of my yoga blends. It's called the Reposing Tiger and Inner Peace Mist. And it's a wonderful for different asanas that you do in yoga. It was created for that, but it's violet leaf and yarrow flower with holy basil and Bulgarian lavender and a little bit of rose. It's very floral, but it's also grounded. And it puts your mind in a place of calm and acceptance, which is a very abundant place to be, because the water tiger is a year of abundance and prosperity. It's supposed to be a damn good year, according to the red envelope crowd. So I would go with that. Next week, I have a special surprise for Valentine's.
Oh, that's exciting. That's good to know, even though, yes, that's right, because Valentine's Day will fall on a Monday, right?
Mm-hmm.
No. Yes. No, the
15th
is a Tuesday. I'll have to look at my calendar. Oh, yes, Valentine's Day is Monday. It's a Monday,
yeah.
Not next Monday, but the following Monday.
Yeah, I believe that this is going to be a year of good Mondays, and that's a prosperous thing, too.
From your lips to God's ears. What's that?
I'm just accenting that wonderful idea.
That was scary. It was like a zither had escaped from a music studio. A runaway hurdy-gurdy had suddenly come to life. I want to just tell you that I'm wearing the Sweet William tonight during our broadcast.
Oh, nice.
That you sent me. I sprayed a little Sweet William on my sweater so that I'm just wearing Sweet William. By the way, folks, Gwendolyn sent me a care package, which was very needed. And I got Sweet William, and I got, the Witchwoods. I got that fragrance, which I love. But Sweet William is with me tonight, so it's sort of infusing my broadcast tonight. I can't recommend enough, please, during the broadcast tonight, go to daughtersofisis.com. That's Daughters of Isis. .com, all one word, and they are indeed the fragrant memories of our ancestors. Go to them and check out all the products. Gwendolyn has so many products on there of so many different types, so please check that out. And so you'll be amazed. It is mind expanding, it is soul expanding, it is intellect expanding. Aromatherapy is not phony. There's nothing guru nonsense about it. It's not 60s, you know, gobbledygook. It is truly, you're absorbing chemicals. You're absorbing the molecules of these different amazing substances, these essential oils, which are taken from plants and different sources, and you are taking them into your bloodstream, and then they are moving into your brain. So the sense of smell is, even though everybody likes to smell great food and smell this and smell that, the bottom line is that we downplay the sense of smell after, of course, vision and hearing. But taste and smell, we evolved. Our sense of smell evolved to both draw us to nutritional and healthy and wonderful things that would benefit us and would promote us. And it also evolved to prevent us from being exposed to things. Bad smells indicate that it might be bacteria or poisonous substances. So our sense of smell is one of nature's wonders, and it's to keep us from putting something in our mouths that might kill us, you know, ideally. So do not underestimate the sense of smell or the wonders of aromatherapy and what it can do for you spiritually and emotionally. I cannot emphasize this enough, and I speak to you as an Aquarian, and I speak to you as a person born in the year of the dragon, and we are extremely knowledgeable and perhaps even perfect people. All right, now.
Well, listen, you know, speaking of Aquarian, we are tonight,
yes.
Tomorrow, into the new moon, which is new beginnings. If you sit down
yes.
and write your intentions for new starts.
Thank you. Yes.
It's an Aquarius new moon. And because we were in the sign of Aquarius with the sun, it's a square, which means usually it's a push me, pull me of Aquarian energy. So if you know any Aquarians out there, duck. They are on the move. But it's a wonderful. This is also a new moon that rides the end of the month into the new month. And it's basically coming in, as you mentioned, tomorrow is Chinese New Year, which is, they are on a lunar calendar. Very, very wise of them. Better timekeeping. And basically what you've got going on there is a lot of brand new beginnings. It's almost as if the new year on January 1st was such just a, you know, peek into what this new
right.
year of 2022 could be. And this month, coming up today and tomorrow, we have this new moon that's zooming in with Aquarian energy. And, it's the Chinese New Year.
I was reading today on the internet about different Chinese astrologers who were weighing in on what the effect of a tiger moon, a tiger new year would be on the different signs. Interestingly, in Chinese zodiac and astrology, if you're born in the year of the tiger, the year of the tiger is not necessarily, your year is not necessarily that wonderful for you. It's counterintuitive to Westerners, but
right.
I remember that as a dragon, I've always known that the year of the dragon is not considered to be a good year for me. I try to dispel that with positive thinking and everything, but it is interesting how the Chinese zodiac does that. Interestingly,
it's a good year for the ox and the goat. Tiger. I'm a goat.
Year are you, by the way?
I'm a goat.
Okay.
I'm a
metal goat or a wood goat or water goat or?
I believe I am a metal goat. I'm not sure.
Huh.
I
we'll look it up. I'm a water dragon.
I'm 55, so, you know, I'm 1955,
uh-huh.
so I'm
right.
not quite sure. But it seems like this is an auspicious year for me anyway, so.
Well, that's good. That's good.
It
I was
is.
Reading, and for dragons, it's not a bad year. It's just sort of a middling year. It's good news and bad news, but I read that and it was interesting. I was born in 1843, so I am a water dragon. And that is something that I will try and thrive through. I wanted you one quick thing. I did mention I'm doing the housekeeping for the show. That's what they say on QVC. You have to get all the facts and figures out of the way. Again, we are sponsored by DaughtersOfIsis.com, and we are here on the Here Be Monsters studio and on Blog Talk Radio Network. Gwendolyn is the founder of the Here Be Monsters studio, and she also has a Sunday show, which is lovely. Our phone number for the show tonight is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. I want to just get a couple of things out of the way. First of all, we always sort of scramble this in at the end of every broadcast. I'm going to do it right now because it is housekeeping. Should you ever want to see Gwendolyn or myself outside of this broadcast, you can find us on Facebook. You can find me on the Sybil Brunchen page. You can also find Sybil Brunchen's Lollipop Guild, which is a non-denominational, non-political. It has no agenda. It's only about happiness and light. And we have themes now. We just did Memory Lane Monday, where your people posted wonderful things that were nostalgic to them. And that Tuesday is Treasure Day, and we have different themes for different days. So tune in. You can join Lollipop. It's called the Sybil Brunchen Lollipop Guild page on Facebook, and it's free and it's fun and it's lovely, and people share recipes. Fabulous Food Friday. People post photos and recipes. It's great. You can also find me on SybilSez.com. That's SybilSez.com and the SybilBrunchen.com page also, both of those websites. And Gwendolyn, where can our wonderful listeners find you?
Well, I'm under Gwendolyn Holdenberry on Facebook, and Daughters of Isis, Inc. has a page on Facebook, and daughtersofisis.com is where they can find me. Also, my co-worker, my partner in crime, Asa Hoffman and I are doing a series of classes on the Inner Alchemy platform this coming month and probably this summer too, and on asahoffman.com. You can find, and that's a very interesting site to go peruse too.
So. Great. And we also are exploring, I'm exploring both Instagram and TikTok. I'm trying to engage and reach people more interactively, and I guess that Facebook is not quite what we had hoped for. I posted this week that I just can't read the stories for you folks and click on the links to the Tourette's and everything and to my YouTube stuff. I am Civil Brunchen is all over everywhere, but I can't seem to shepherd people to those sites. It's like herding cats. So, I mean, people pointed the pictures on my Facebook pages and then they scratch their asses and that's it. And then they say, oh, that's a pretty color. You know, and it's like, no, there was a story about that photograph and you just won't click on that. You just won't read that story. I don't know. American illiteracy is just rampant everywhere, but whatever. So that's why I started doing Tourette's and people won't even click on the videos. So, I'm looking at TikTok and Instagram as alternatives, and we may be, you know,
TikTok
migrating all of Civil Brunchen to a new place.
TikTok would be a wonderful place for you, Mummy.
It would be my
daily lookup. It would be there.
It might be. We asked you for questions. We said you could write in or call in with questions. Our number again is 323-784-9639, 323-784-9639. Operators are standing by. And please keep it clean.
We
have children
have
who are listeners.
Caller.
Good. We'll take him or her, and we'll start doing questions. So who's our caller? I can guess, I bet.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
What's your question, caller?
It's Wayne Johnson, everybody. I just want to introduce Wayne because he's our Dorothy Kilgallen or our Bennett Cerf on our What's My Line program here. We have a tradition now of having some regular callers, and Wayne is certainly one of our very favorites. This is a bit like What's My Line or To Tell the Truth from the 1950s. Wayne, how are you tonight?
I am doing well, and I guess I would add to the events that are going to be coming around tomorrow is my granddaughter, Penelope, whom we refer to as Pip or Pippi, will be 3 years old tomorrow.
She was born on February 1st.
Yes. And then her mother, oldest daughter will be, well, I'm sorry her age, but she will be February the 11th.
You have a couple of Aquarians in the house.
February is a very, very good month for us. And I just want to tell the listeners out there and to you, pay some kudos to you, darling, is Sybil, you are such a talent. Please don't ever change. Be who you are forever and ever.
Well, that is the loveliest compliment. Wayne, thank you so much. And that means a lot because I am definitely going through the January grims right now. I am definitely in the midwinter why bothers. But I promise I will never change. And listeners at home, I want to recommend Oil of Olay douches and suppositories. They will keep you young from the inside out. Why do topical moisturizers? No. You have to either eat or douche with Oil of Olay, and believe me, it will keep you young and thoroughly lubricated. All right, that's a great way to never change. Wayne, we're going to take questions tonight, and I'm including you as a member of the family because you're a member of our family.
So I'm
getting a couple of questions. I don't know why people won't call in, but people are writing in. And here is thank you, darling. This somebody just wrote in, Happy Chinese New Year, Sybil and Wayne and Gwendolyn. On the Lollipop, here's a letter. On the Lollipop Guild page, you post special days. Saturday is Splurge Day. Sybil, you've made it Saturday Splurge Day. And the premise is, what is your guilty pleasure? So what we propose to people who are members of that page, we said, what do you go hungry for? What do you eat grilled cheese sandwiches and oatmeal for months on end so you can save up your money to then, buy your guilty pleasure? All right, who's stirring something right now?
Me, cocktail hour, dear.
Okay. All right, all right. Well, all right.
Let's stop it. I know.
Yes,
no, you can do that. I just wish that you didn't have your head in the bucket of the martinis that you're making. So if you could maybe stir it with a broomstick, and then you could have your martini. I'm having a martini, but I'm not having it like – I'm not stirring it with my earpiece. You know? Anyway, so Gwendolyn, let's start with you. What's your guilty – when you go hungry – or have you gone hungry? What did you save up your pennies and nickels and dimes for when the lights were turned out, when the utilities had been shut off, when the phone was off? What were you saving your money up that was a guilty pleasure? What are your lovely guilty pleasures?
Oh, more books.
And they can be career. By the way, they can be career-oriented because I know how you are about fragrances and your chemistry.
Oh, yeah,
so you could be saying, oh, I'm saving up my money for that rare Jonquil oil or, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. To get more Baronia oil or a nice auto of rose. And I get them in these little teeny tiny bottles, and I always go for the absolutes because they go such a long way in a blend. And books. Books are another thing I save up for.
What kind of books? That's wonderful. I love books, too. What kind of books?
Books that, you know, that a lot of my co-colleagues in the industry are publishing. And also, it's like I've been trying very hard to find original publishing of, like, James Frazier's Golden Bough that came in a couple of editions. You know, rare books that are sometimes obtainable. First edition prints of Crowley's 777, which is, it's a book of correspondences, something someone like me uses a great deal.
Gwendolyn, what is the most expensive essential oil that is like, is it Narcissus? What are some of the most expensive essential oils?
Agar wood.
And how much is it?
Aloes wood. Well, I bought a little 3-milliliter bottle a couple of months ago, and it cost me, I think it was... close to $200.
Okay, stop. Folks at home, 3 milliliters. Even though we're not on the metric system, even a moron knows 3 milliliters is very, very, very tiny. And it was over $200. Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
You'd run back into a fire to get out of there.
I got a really good deal on it. Well, I keep all of my precious, really precious oils, which are in usually small bottles, in a teak wood box that goes on a little shelf right on the front of my bench here. And all of the oils in that little teak wood box, like seaweed absolute and black currant, absolute, lots of absolutes, heliochrysum, immortelle, ambrette seed, violet leaf. These things I keep in this little box, and it's an expensive little box. This is my bank account, dear.
And when you use those oils in your recipes, you're literally, as you say, they go a long way. So you're using like a drop in a batch of something, right? Because it's so powerful.
I'm known to be a freehand pourer, which is something that, you know, there's like many schools of how to do it. But there's those people who are very precise and will add drop by drop. I'm a freehand pourer. So I open that little tiny amber bottle and I'll allow it to pour down the side of the beaker. And when I think it's done, I put the cap back on. So I might, instead of putting one drop in, and good Lord, another drop is going to stay in the dropper. That's why I freehand pour with expensive. But
I see.
I basically, and my nose, of course, tells me. And I've actually over-poured a couple of times. Usually it's with rose, and I have to adjust and replenish all the other oils so that it piles back on top and makes
What's
a compound.
What is the fragrance that comes from the stomach of a whale? Ambergris, right?
Yeah, ambergris, yeah. And
that's very expensive.
It's expensive when it's refined, but you can go and buy, and it's still expensive, but not as raw ambergris. But then you have to create the oil by putting it through the alcohol breakdown, and which is what I've done.
I just want to point out to the home audience that there are people that love what they do so much that their guilty pleasure is spending money on their job. And I think and those people are they're two things, in my opinion. They are blessed. They are doubly, triply blessed to be getting up in the morning and to actually look forward to sitting at, in Gwendolyn's case, her bench, so to speak, her chemistry bench in her lab, in her perfume lab. She gets up in the morning and is actually lucky enough to want to go to work. Sadly, I believe in America, approximately 8% of the population actually lives like that. Most people do not itch and can't wait to start their day. They don't. So Gwendolyn is very blessed, and she is an example that we all should. She should be our inspiration, because that is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. And look at her; she's not spending money on drugs or, well, not anymore, on alcohol.
Well,
she's doing.
I have had one weakness. Let's see, in the last year or so, I did have one weakness. I would spend money on, short blonde-haired gals, but that's about it.
But anyway, I just wanted to point out that it is wonderful to hear someone spending their guilty pleasure is investing in their craft, their art. I think that's enchanting, enchanting. I haven't known anyone like that since I dated Vincent van Gogh, and he spent everything on paint, mostly yellows, and a little bit of bread, and then that, and booze, and that was it. Wayne, what is your, do you have guilty pleasures, and what would you go hungry for?
Well,
that you're married. I know you have children and grandchildren, but in your life, what do you like scrimp for a little bit to splurge on? Anything. What would it be?
Yeah, I'm going to take it in a little different thing, because I'm type 2 diabetic, and so I have to watch what I eat, the amounts that I eat and stuff. But my guilty pleasure, where I'll say, screw it, I can lose the little toe, I can lose some eyesight, but at Thanksgiving, I want a small slice of pecan pie.
Wow.
That's me. That's, you know, I have simple pleasures.
That's lovely. With or without some whipped cream or ice cream?
Oh, yes. Well, the whipped cream, the ice cream would push me over the edge, okay? I mean, I'd
be
curling up in a corner seat.
Do you like the pecan pie to be heated? You like it out of the oven, don't you?
Oh, if it's fresh out, well, let me tell you this story. We can elaborate here a little bit. I was in the Navy, and I was standing a midnight watch, right, which is just boring as hell. I mean, put a spike through your head, boring. And the night baker on the ship there, we're out in the middle of the ocean, and he made some pecan pies, and they were fresh. And this was in Charleston, South Carolina. I had never in my life had pecan pie. I could not imagine a pie made out of nuts.
Wow.
Berry, fruit, you know, things like this. Pumpkin pie, you know, But it's a pie made out of nuts. And he would say, oh, you've had it before. You've had pecan pie. No, I haven't, right? Well, he believed my story, which was very true, right? Initially, he's like, oh, this guy's giving me bullshit. He wants a slice of pie. But he cut me a piece of that pie fresh out of the oven.
Oh, my goodness. The smell alone has been wonderful.
And I sat there on the mess deck with a fork and that little small plate, and I had found the golden child of pie.
It was transfiguring, wasn't it? It was transformational experience.
Yeah.
It is wonderful. Yeah. Well,
yeah. So that was
I can imagine.
Right. I was then 21, 22 years old, somewhere in there.
Wayne, Now, that's, and I'm glad that you answered it that way, because that's lovely, and that's a wonderful, wonderful memory. But again, okay, so that's a guilty pleasure, and you have a health issue with it, which is interesting. but back to, like, a little bit of splurging. Like, is there anything that is expensive that is your guilty pleasure? I mean, I love that you mentioned something as humble and as simple to acquire as a pecan pie, and that's wonderful. But is there – that's why I asked Gwendolyn what was the most expensive oils she ever bought, you know. So what is something that you literally – let's go before you were married, maybe.
Yes.
Maybe before you were married. What was something that you saved up your – sad army pay for your sad military, you know, your $11 a month for defending our country, you know, the commensurate pay that goes with the bravery that makes you, that you're in the service. So $11 a month, when you saved up six of those payments, what was something that you splurged on that you was like, oh my God, I'll eat grilled cheese for months so that I could afford to buy the, and what was it?
Well, okay, I do have a very good answer for you, Chris. As I've made mention before, I am a professional musician, and I own 10 guitars. one of them is a Paul Reed Smith, very, very high-end McCarty, special run.
Yeah.
And I didn't buy this back in the Navy, but this one here I did buy used, but knew it would have been $4,500. I ended up paying $2,500 for it. I sold my tractor when we sold the farm, and I told my wife, I said, I'm buying a guitar. And that was my last big purchase, and it is a beautiful, great-sounding guitar. The pickups were designed to emulate the sound of Duane Allman when they were playing at the Fillmore, recorded live at the Fillmore.
That's fabulous. Now, see, I didn't want to lead you into that, but I knew that as a musician, I had suspected these questions were coming in. I thought, now, I bet Gwendolyn will do her chemistry because she's so immersed in that. And she doesn't really brag about, like, other things. She's not like – she doesn't say, oh, and I loved, you know, I love my cashmere sweater set or whatever. So I thought it would be chemicals. And then with you, I thought, well, Wayne is a musician. I wonder if he's going to go – the musical route. Does he own like a rare, you know, Paul, whatchamacallit, a guitar that would be on Antiques Roadshow?
I did have a pair of Boswegian loafers for 40 years.
But that's, so can I just ask you one quick question? The guitar that you just talked about, that's what you would run into a fire for, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. And it's $2,500. And how long ago was that?
Oh my goodness! That was really my wife has told me I can't buy any more guitars. So, and she is better than I ever deserved.
But
that
it's appreciated in value.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. Even the used market in guitars have increased. But yeah, I bought that 3 years ago. That was my last purchase in guitars. But I've gotten some great deals because I bought them when, you know, they were like, oh, that's just an old, you know, an old guitar, right? And then as years went on, it's like, oh, some bitch, hey, you got one of those? I have a real deal, a 1967 Hofner Paul McCartney beat-style violin Beatle bass. I gave $250 for it, and it is pristine condition. Well, there's little bumps and stuff from playing it back in the day. And, yeah, that's well over $3,000 right now.
Wow. You know, Wayne, I have two banjo ukuleles from the 1920s.
Oh, yeah.
And they're very rare. They're very cute. And so I may have to ask you for some advice on tuning and playing them and using them in performances if we ever get to the point where we can have performances again. You know, I feel like COVID has shut everything down. All right, let's move on to another question. Let's move on to another question. That one's to me. I'm not going to answer that. You recently posted funny comments made from – no. Let's do one that you two can answer. How do you write your stories? No. Oh, here's one. What do you fear most? Do you have phobias or whatever? Gwen, how about you? What do you fear most? it's philosophical or an object or an animal or a heights or something about like what mass ignorance. What do you fear most? What are a couple of things you fear most?
Well, I suppose anybody with common sense would say they fear death, but I just fear the pain, not the death. I think what I, in my everyday life or the life I've been living, as it's moved along in the last couple of years, what I fear is letting go of what I love. That's a big confession. I hope it's not being heard everywhere.
Oh, Gwendolyn, we only have 8 listeners, so I wouldn't worry about it. Gwendolyn, I think, so in other words, okay, I don't want to paraphrase this for you, but I'm just going to ask you, because I think your answer, if I'm interpreting your answer correctly, then I'm completely on the same page. Okay, so when you say letting go of the things you love, you mean when you leave here, you worry that there are things that you love that may not be taken care of properly or...
Oh, okay. What I mean is everyday walk of life, that what I don't have in the moment and that I've chosen, you know, to be separate from. I fear actually letting go of, even though you have, you still carry something in your heart. And that's something you have to work out with yourself on another level.
I want to explore that a little more if I can, because I want to learn. Do you mean that you're afraid, you don't want to unplug from your feelings of love, or say more.
That is an excellent way to put it. Yes. Yes.
Okay, because Buddhist thought is that we are supposed to be quote unquote unattached. So true Buddhist thought is that perfection is being unattached to things, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, if you go into Zen Buddhism, you become completely unattached to the point where you don't even have to come back. You don't come back to this world at all because you're not attached to...
Right, you're not even a body thought. I know. I realize that. But first of all, I'm one of these gals. I still got the blade on my back. I love the adventure and I'm here for a reason. Second of all, being perfect in my mind would be an automaton, and that's no life to live. Without the adventure of challenge and making mistakes and learning and growing from them, what the fuck's the reason? except to sit back and say, oh, laugh at that, smile at that. That's not my gig. Although I know there's a place in the world for people like that so that we can go by and say, oh, I guess I better pause a minute. It's still not my gig. I'm Irish. I'm not Eastern. And third, it took me a long time, all the way down the road, to open my feelings in a trusting way that was intimate. And so I don't ever want to lose that. The object of it or whatever might not be there, but my feelings are, and that I don't want to lose.
I understand. Sense? Yes.
Cool.
Perfect. And you were very, and it was wonderful that you shared that with us. And not rushing on, but Wayne, your fears, philosophical fears or concrete ones of like, you know, fear of heights, you know, fear of something bigger and more strange and you know, mysterious, like Gwendolyn's fear. Like, where do you fall on that? Or do you fall on all of them? Do you have all of those different things?
No, there's not anything that I truly fear because, well, like I said, in training of my youth was when you're ambushed, you learn to spread out and attack the ambush. So
right.
If you're going to come at me, oh, son of a bitch, you fucked up. You know?
Right.
I'm coming at you with everything. You want trouble? I got lots of trouble. You're going to get a boatload of it. But that being said, because I've fought environmental battles, I have fought political battles against corruption and things like that, exposing it, and I have stood toe-to-toe with some very powerful men and told them what the hell I thought. That being said, I will say probably the worst thing that I am concerned or fear about is what are we going to pass on to the next generation?
Yeah. There you go. There you go.
I'm appalled. I'm just appalled. And there are times where, and I say this only half humorously, COVID, you know, it's like human beings have been so willfully rotten for no reason. Like, we don't kill just for food. We kill because it's funny. We think it's funny to kill animals, to chop down a forest, to machine gun, a forest full of animals and trees with our AK-47s because it's fun and funny.
Yeah.
I wish that a plague would come and it would be an extinction event, and that it would be humans only, and that somehow we would have emptied the zoos, we would have emptied the pet shops, and all animals would be returned to nature where they would figure out their own way, and it would be free of human beings. And then we, like those wonderful PBS shows, where what would the world be like 100 years from now if humans just disappeared? You see, entire cities crumbling into weeds and gravel, and eventually the Eiffel Tower just rusts away and all of it. It's like, is that really the solution? Because I feel like we've just destroyed so much for so many other beings, more than just our children and our grandchildren, like the entire animal world, the entire plant world. It's like, Jesus Christ, are we just literally cancer? Are we in fact cancer? And this planet is a living being, and it somehow has contracted cancer. What a meteor strike or a comet strike or too much vulcanism isn't wiping out. Mm-hmm. It's like a species has finally come to Earth and is the destructive element. The dinosaurs didn't do this to the dinosaurs didn't endanger everyone else. They shat a lot. They ate a lot and shat a lot. You had like 400 pounds of poop on the sidewalk, but that just went into the nature. Every plastic bag we make for a sandwich for school is going to last 500 years. It's like we are simply poisoning everything, and we're not even nice. It's like we're not only poisoning everything, but we're not even a nice species. We're not nice.
We're not even nice to each other.
Exactly. We're rotten. We're really a rotten species. And then on top of it, we're willfully poisoning everything. It just is so unfair, so unfair. And so I'm afraid, too. That's one of my biggest fears is it goes hand in hand with my other big fear. What are we leaving? What? And then my other fear, Wayne, you might agree with this one.
All right, go ahead.
The consequences of what are we leaving is, if there is reincarnation, do we have to come back and suffer in a world that has 20 billion people on it? So since we're bad children, do we come back over and over again and come to a world where, indeed Florida is, sub-zero because the climate has changed. Maine is 120 degrees. The South Pole and the North Pole have reversed. It's just like, or the Earth is tipped on its axis and Hawaii is the new North Pole. I mean, it's like, oh my God, what do we have to come back? What do we have to come back over and over again as punishment for what we've done? Is that the universe's plan?
To be honest with you, I think we have more of a choice than that. There's an interesting book called I Remember Union, which a lot of people find great heft with. And it was the story of Mary Magdalene. And in it, she describes the swing between worlds where before you incarnate, you make a deal. You plan this life out. It's not etched in stone. but it's
right.
the challenges that you will face. And she came to the swing between worlds with two other people, Judas Iscariot and Yeshua ben Joseph, or Jesus. And they made a deal. Now, I happen to think that's a truism. It's like, you know, Gabriel puts his finger on your lips and tells you, shh, forget before you're born.
Right.
I think that's absolutely what goes down. And we make the choices. We choose the moment we'll be born, what the influences cosmically will be for us, the parents we come to, and possibilities
right.
of a life path and what we will do with it. Now, in the universe, if you can comprehend it, there are many different ways to go about it. I mean, you know, birth and life and evolution and existence. Humanity has to be a pretty special species, I think. I think we're awesomely special, and we have every capability of evolving into what we would consider our best self to be. And that's the only revolution that counts anymore on this planet, in my opinion, is the consciousness revolution, the shifting of our consciousness to a greater capacity for life and its tangible, you know, existence here in all that is. I don't especially go to God form, but I do know that there is a oneness that we all share. Everything is connected. And in that idea, in that zone of thought, I think humanity is a pretty special species, because I don't even doubt for a minute that there are probably millions in the universe of different species that are evolving on their own. But I'll bet you $20 that we're a special. Now look at it. We're the backyard of the galaxy. We're out here in the outpost. It's always from the outpost that the special stuff happens. You know, the big changes occur. So I of course I'm a cosmic Pollyanna. Go ahead. I know.
Yeah, well, Glenn, let me add to Glenn's comment there. I was speaking with a man. I was flying in a jet, you know, a traveling business, and the man sitting next to me was from India and a Hindu, and we kind of come into this kind of discussion, not so much reincarnation stuff, but, you know, is man going to evolve into extinction? You know, is he going to be his own demise? And his reply back to me was, the drive to reproduce, to survive, and create is so strong that he didn't
right.
think that we would eventually self-implode, kind of a thing. Not saying that, you know, we wouldn't be have issues, right? But I guess,
challenged.
Yeah, challenged. Thank you. That's good. That's word. But I'm also, too, on the cutting edge of upgrading the electrical infrastructure grid, the diversification away from the hydrocarbon industry to cleaner industries to protect our client and to be proactive. And it's not just in this country. You know, we're not fighting Exxon all by ourselves or Shell. This is a global movement now.
Well,
and so
Exxon,
that's where I kind of have hope. Being a science-based person, I do have hope for us.
Yeah, and the kids are coming up. You've got engineering students today who are figuring out how to power a whole community just by the waves hitting the shoreline. I mean, there's fabulous stuff out there. I have more hope than I have. And that's another thing that is unique to humanity's consciousness is hope.
There's an old saying that the earth, in fact, the world, in fact, only does spin forward. It does not spin backward. And it's a cute metaphor. Yes. And
yes.
Even though we sometimes, as a society or as an entire species, sometimes take a few steps backwards as in Hitler, Stalin, or, you know, Donald Trump or whatever,
mm-hmm.
we
mm-hmm.
eventually we gain our footing and we make three steps forward. So, we,
right.
you know, three steps forward and up, and then we take one step backward, and then, nope, three steps forward. So this new generation, for the most part, except for the small proportion, the small portion of them, you know, in Buttpoke, Arkansas, who are following daddy's orders and joining, you know, the Proud Boys, you know, and
mm-hmm.
they're 15 years old and they've already owned their first AK-47. That is a rarity. Most kids are the Parkland High School kids.
Right.
Am I saying that right? Most kids
yeah.
are
yeah.
kids
yeah,
who are looking
right.
at their fellow students around the country and the world who are being shot in high schools and saying, I don't think that my senator represents my dream come true. I don't think my father does, and I don't think my senator does. I think I'm breaking with the generation, the older generation, which is what is very familiar from the 1960s. The younger
mm-hmm.
generation was breaking
yep.
with the older folks that were supporting things like Vietnam, Indochina. It's like they were protesting, and they may not have been bathing, and they may have been wearing love beads and bell bottoms and everything. Their grooming might not have been pretty, but
mm-hmm.
the overall message was what you were, that World War II generation can't keep dictating war as a solution. It might have been a solution to Adolf Hitler, but it can't be a solution to every problem on every coast in the world all the time, as in Vietnam. And, you know, it's like it just can't be. So
right.
I think that the new generations are evolving and may indeed, you know, come up with solutions to stuff.
Right.
You're absolutely right.
Well, I keep wondering why we can't jump into Star Trek, you know? Let's get there.
Well,
but,
we're working
yeah.
on it, Gwen. We are. We're working on it real hard.
I agree. Anything that human beings...
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I was going to say, I would also add into there the awakening of the civil rights movement of the 60s. We've
yes.
taken one step back, but, you know, there's people like me, old white men, are saying, oh, hell no, we're going to take three steps forward, and everybody who thinks the way I do, get active, get involved. So, you know.
Well, that's another issue. And I wanted to address these questions because we certainly could go down a political road. The election day, you know, November 8th or whatever it is, is, as far as I'm concerned, is 15 minutes away. I mean, we are
exactly.
hurtling towards election day, and we have really got to galvanize the left. But that's
exactly.
a whole different subject. And boy, I'll tell you something. For people like the three of us, you know, we can point and be horrified by the right and the extreme right and even the center right, but we've got homework on our own side. We have people on the left that are just – I'm appalled at the statistics coming out. You watch Chuck Todd on Sundays, and it's like, oh, my God, the number of Democratic voters that are, quote, unquote, really discouraged and not interested in voting. It's like, are you joking?
Right.
Joe Biden didn't cure the world's problems in 10 minutes. I'm just done with him. I'm not going to vote. And I won't even tell you who those groups are, but it's like, it's appalling to me that we have a bunch of spoiled babies on the left who are like just really mad that Papa Biden didn't fix everything. I don't know why. It's like, oh, my God, 4 years of Nazism, and you expect him to fix all of that in 1 year?
Thank,
like,
you, thank you. Thank you.
Let's get back on topic. Let's get back on
yes,
topic.
Yes, yes, yes. Let's go back. That's good.
Oh, here's a quick one, and we only have a few minutes, so you're going to have to answer
okay.
succinctly. Gwendolyn, what is your worst fault or trait? Succinct.
Procrastination.
Yep, me too. That's mine too. That's one of my top three. Absolutely.
Achilles heel.
It's so funny, and you know what's funny? We appear to be high functioning. We appear to be people that do things, but I fight it all the time, by the way. When I was in the corporate world, I never procrastinated on anything because my one of my greatest fears is to be humiliated.
Yeah.
in public.
Yeah.
And so I never wanted to go to a board of directors meeting at, you know, Tommy Hilfiger with a project and an easel and a thing and a PowerPoint, blah, 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 and not have it ready for Monday morning and have people point and mock me. It was too appalling. When I was little, I used to cram on Sunday nights before the final exam on Monday, and that was terrible. I procrastinated over it. But as I neared adulthood, I did not. But I still, especially since I'm unstructured now, I have a tendency to procrastinate on, like, cleaning the basement. That's one of my that's horrible, horrible. I procrastinated on putting away the Christmas tree and the ornaments. I keep saying, oh, the Christmas lights are so pretty. Maybe just one more week, you know, procrastination. What do you procrastinate on, Gwendolyn?
You know, that's funny because when I'm working for somebody else, I am, right there doing it,
right,
doing a job well done.
Yeah.
When I work for myself, I procrastinate because I perfection, or I procrastinate out of how do I accomplish this? It's me trying to figure out how to get it done, especially on the financials.
Right.
And I take a long time to perfect certain projects or whatnot, especially writing.
Okay.
I can go over it and over and over again.
Right. That's interesting. I don't. Oh, okay. Wayne, what's yours? What are you procrastinating? Oh, I know. No, what's your failing? Yeah. Maybe you're not procrastinating.
Right. I need, I've gone more lazy versus I really need more exercise, to manage the type 2 diabetes. But, given a chance, when I knock off at 2, it's nap time. I didn't go out and walk around the mall for exercise. I turn
well,
on the TV.
Now that's a little bit of procrastination right there, isn't
it?
Yeah. It's kind of
procrastination.
Yeah. Yep. And laziness is a sister to procrastination.
Well,
it's like
there
brother
you
and
go.
Sister. Yep. Yep.
Kindred
they're the. They're the
there you go.
That's so funny. Listen, we're running low on time. Maybe we'll take questions again next week because I got a bunch of questions here. I don't know why people will not call in. Why will people not call in? I don't get it. Anyway, who is Jordan? For those of you that watch my Tourette's, Jordan is my next door neighbor, the wonderful little boy that is always out doing chores in his front yard. And I've filmed him on occasion. He is priceless. He's 4 years old and he is absolutely the hope of the universe. How do you write your stories? Oh, dear. Sybil, you posted funny comments made from readers about your Facebook stories, and they were really funny and funny comments. Are those real responses, or did you make them up? Honey, if my readers would post those things and they were that funny and that crazy, I wouldn't be complaining. No, I make those up. You'd be amazed the comments that people make on my stories. Sometimes I have to hide them because they're so appalling. It's just so weird. Anyway, it's Monday. It's the last Monday of February, January, and we're about to move into February. Tomorrow is the new moon, and tomorrow is the beginning of the water tiger. It is the water tiger, right? Yes. Water tiger, mm-hmm. New year for the Chinese New Year. And we say Chinese, but in fact, it's for much of Asia. So they're on that same lunar cycle. So we wish you all a happy New Year. I would like to remind you that you've been listening to Come Now, Don't Sulk. We are proud, proud, proud members of the Here Be Monsters studio, founded by Gwendolyn Oldenberry and supported by Wayne Johnson. And we are also on Blog Talk Radio every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. Please tune in every Monday and join us. We've been brought to you by DaughtersOfIsis.com. That's DaughtersOfIsis.com, all one word, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, and by listeners just like you. Please find Gwendolyn and me, or myself, or I, on Facebook and at SybilSays.com and SybilRunchen.com and DaughtersOfIsis.com. We look forward to seeing you next Monday, same time, same channel. Have a wonderful week. If you're in Florida, I used to be angry at the Floridians because they had it so much better than we do in Pennsylvania. We've got 8 inches of snow up here. So, but they've got ice on their tangerines. So what are you going to do? Stay warm, stay cozy, and remember to be in the world and of the world. Everything is borrowed. Make sure that you hug someone you love and pat a kitty, scratch a dog's ears, smile at a child, smell the flowers. Have a wonderful week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.